All right, here we are getting ready to study chapters 4, possibly 5 tonight. We'll just see how it goes. So we're just going to get right into chapter 4 of Revelation. I'll just read a little bit and then we'll have some commenting on that. After these things, so I'm going to stop right there after three words. After these things, the Greek is metatauta, M-E-T-A-T-A-U-T-A. And it's interesting because the question is, after what? What's he talking about, after these things? Well, we just had chapters 2 and 3, which was all about the church and church history and the age of grace. And so he's saying after this, after the church age is what he's talking about, then these things happen, which is another indication of the rapture of the church happening before the tribulation. Okay. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. Notice the word like. It was like a trumpet. If we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17, let's go there. 1 Thessalonians. The famous rapture passage. Okay, and then 16 and 17. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. So he's actually shouting, and has a voice, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then 17, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And so, again, we see this voice like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Now, a lot of people think that for those three words, come up here, corresponds to the rapture of the church. In other words, when John was lifted up, this is at the same time the church was. It could be, but you know, when John gets up there and starts looking around, he sees the 24 elders, so it could be that the rapture of the church has happened even before he is caught up. So we'll keep reading. He says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, he would be in the Spirit, of course, because I would say his body was probably laying, sleeping on Patmos somewhere, and his spirit was experiencing this. His body couldn't go up there because it's corrupted, you know, but he was in the Spirit. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. Now, some translations say jasper and carnelian, sardius and carnelian are the same thing. It's interesting because they were the first and the last stones on the breastplate of the high priest. Mm-hmm. And so, and they also represent the first and last sons of Jacob, Reuben and Benjamin. Reuben means behold a son, and Benjamin means the son of my right hand. So Christ is the Son of God, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. So all these symbols are very, very interesting. So you have jasper and carnelian.
Well, have you ever heard someone say to you, because I have when we've discussed this, I'll say the word rapture. No, my Bible doesn't say rapture, it says caught up. And I said, yes, the Bible doesn't say rapture, but that's what it means.
Yeah. Be caught up. Bible doesn't say Trinity either.
No.
But it's shown in many places. Okay, now this is very, very important. As we study Revelation, I'm going to point out certain key scriptures. And this is one of them right here. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Okay. Notice, first of all, most people don't talk about this, but they were sitting, okay? Spirits don't sit, you know. So they had bodies. We would have had glorified bodies that we got at the rapture. So I want to read a little commentary by Jack Kelly about this. He goes, 24 thrones, 24 elders. Who are these guys? He says, elder means representative, like a pastor or a deacon would represent a church at a convention. 24 means a complete body, like 24 divisions of priests. We get that from 1 Chronicles 20:24. Zechariah in the Christmas story, you know, when he goes and the angel tells him his wife Elizabeth's going to have a baby, he was taking his turn as one of 24 priests in the temple at that time. And so 24 is a representative number. Let's see what else he says here. They were sitting on thrones. We get that from Revelation 3:21. Remember the descriptions that Jesus, when he was talking to the individual churches, and he says, for those who overcome, I will give you this, I'll give you that. So they'll be sitting on thrones. That's from Revelation 3:21. They'll be clothed in white robes. That's from Revelation 3:5. And they're wearing crowns of gold. And that's Revelation 2:10. Okay, these are all things that we are going to experience. He says, these 24 elders confuse some people, but they shouldn't. Their appearance gives them away. They have thrones, so they're rulers. They surround the throne of God, so they are assisting him. They're seated, a sign of royalty. They're dressed in white, so they're righteous. They're wearing the Greek Stephanos crown, and that's S-T-E-P-H-A-N-O-S, kind of like Stephanie, but it's Stephanos crown. So that means they're victors and they're overcomers. They're called elders, which is a title long associated with Christianity. Okay, so let me go through that again. They have thrones, so they're rulers. They surround the throne of God, so they're assisting him. They're seated, which is a sign of royalty. They're dressed in white, which means they're righteous. And they're wearing the Greek Stephanos crown, meaning they're victors or overcomers. And they're called elders, a title long associated with Christianity. It's interesting that four prophets of God saw the throne of God and recorded their experience. Four prophets had visions of heaven. And these were Isaiah in chapter 6, Ezekiel in chapters 1 and 10, Daniel in chapter 7, and John in Revelation 4 and 5. Now it's interesting that in Isaiah and Ezekiel's descriptions, there's no mention of 24 elders. And there wouldn't be. The church hadn't even been formed yet. Okay? No mention of 24 elders. So at that time in heaven, there wouldn't have been any elders there.
So are you teaching us something different now? Because the 24 elders, don't they, doesn't that represent the church?
Yeah, didn't I say that?
I got lost again.
Oh no, yeah, they represent the church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. But what I mean is you're saying they're royalty and they're
which is what the church is.
Right. So is this the church setting?
This is the church in heaven, uh-huh. And this is going to be our characteristics when we're there. You know, the church is righteous because of the righteous blood of Jesus.
Right.
The elders, again, is a title associated with Christianity. 24 is representative of the church. So, yes, I believe, and so do many scholars, he's just giving the reasons why that this fits, the description fits us perfectly.
Right.
As to how we're going to be in our glorified bodies.
So we're going to be seated, mm-hmm. Right? And did you say that did you say they were priests? Did you say that?
Not
royalty.
Right, not this time. Yeah, royalty. So you could look at it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Priests and kings, and some people say priests and kingdom, part of the kingdom. It depends on the translation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're clothed in white and they have crowns mm-hmm. on their head.
Right.
And so that represents all of the believers.
Mm-hmm. And all of church history.
Right.
The true Christians, not just the professing ones.
No, no, right, yeah,
the
yeah,
true
yeah.
Christians.
Okay.
Right.
Because so, I have the church right there from where we studied before, and I didn't know if I was
right.
supposed to have that. Okay.
So the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Ezekiel, their visions of heaven did not have any mention of elders because they were like 600 years before Christ. Daniel's vision, he mentioned multiple thrones, but he didn't add any details. And he didn't say anything about who was sitting on the thrones, but he did mention thrones. It says only John made a mention of the 24 elders. He says, note that these elders are wearing the crowns of overcomers. The church won't receive crowns until the Bema Seat judgment that takes place after the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this also indicates, and this is why I think the rapture actually occurs before John is told to come up here. Because not only are they up there, but they've already received their crown. So they've already been judged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, that means that the rapture has already taken place before John is even called up. Whereas a lot of people say, when they say come up, when he said come up here, that was the rapture itself. Then we have the sea of glass. The sea of glass. Now, two guys that I refer to a lot, Jack Kelly and J. Vernon McGee, a little bit different on this. Kelly says that the sea of glass was characterized on earth by the bronze laver. You know, when we studied the tabernacle and then later on the temple, this was the wash basin. The priests would come and they would wash their hands before they could go any further. He says that this sea of glass represents that. And it also symbolizes God's word. McGee says it symbolizes holiness and righteousness of God. I don't know that there's any set answer to that. I think when you look at the sea of glass, a lot of it is conjecture and just trying to figure things out. So there are certain things that we're kind of left to guess about. And a lot of writers don't have any problem with that at all. They'll guess. And they have like different opinions. So I'm just giving them to you.
So, with like you say, when it, he said, you know, says come up here, I remember you preaching one time,
mm-hmm.
on this a little bit, and you said that John could actually see us sitting there. You remember saying that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think I said that tonight, because he got up there and he saw the 24 elders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly
so
right.
So he can see us already there.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Let me back up to 5. I was getting ahead of myself there. Verse 5. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God, which is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had the face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Sounds like science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary in a way, and I mean, what I mean is,
well, we won't be then, but now we would be.
I know, because we're the natural, right? Yeah. So it's hard to really.
I have a page missing, but I think I can remember most of this, where it talks about the 6 wings. That's from Isaiah, chapter 6, I think, verse 2, and then there's another description. Of these creatures in, I believe it's Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a perfect one, but Isaiah has the 6 wings and the holy, holy, holy that they're saying. And then Ezekiel has other features of these. But a lot of scholars think that that these creatures represent the 4 Gospels.
Oh.
And the first one with the lion represents Matthew, and then the calf represents a service, like a service animal, and service would be Mark. And then the man represents Luke. And the eagle represents royalty, which would be John. And a lot of people believe that. J. Vernon also, he agrees with that, that they represent the four Gospels. Not saying they are the four Gospels. They really are four living creatures, and they're really there. But they also, you can tie them to the four Gospels. Okay, so let me go through that again. The lion would be Matthew. The calf, or some translations say ox, beast of burden, would be Mark. The third living creature had a face like a man. That would be Luke. And then the fourth one was the eagle, flying eagle, which was John. Okay. Then it says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, then the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. That's interesting. Here we see, again, the 24 throne, 24 elders mentioned. We fall down before him, we worship him, and then we cast our crowns before the throne.
Which are rewards?
Which would represent our rewards. I think they're actual crowns yeah. given, but they would represent our rewards.
Yeah.
And J. Vernon made a comment. He said, you know, it's probably great getting those crowns at first, but then he said, the more I would look at my crown, the more I would think, I don't deserve this, I'm giving it to Christ, mm-hmm. you know? And I think our attitude is going to be so selfless and so humble that I can see us doing just that, wanting to give him the best thing that we have, you know, which would be those crowns. Then it says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So again, this is a great verse for, you know, creationists, because it says right there, the church is saying, you created all things. It didn't evolve, and by your will they exist. By your will they exist. Remember, grace saves us, and grace maintains us, and grace actually maintains the universe. So by your will, they exist. If God wanted to shut down everything right now, he could. And they were created. Now, I'm not going to go through the details of five because there's a lot here about the scroll and what that means and opening up the scroll. But I do want to talk about one thing in chapter five. Let's see where it was. Okay. Verse 9 is talking about, well, let me back up to verse 8 of chapter 5. When he had taken the scroll, Christ, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, now, if people still don't think that the 24 elders are the church, this should do it, because this is what they sing. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, obviously Christ, mm-hmm. and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. If that's not the church, I don't know what is. You know, that really seals it. Because there are other theories where they say, well, the 24 elders are the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, and 12 disciples, and people have all these different ideas, and it's just very obvious that it's simply the church, you know. Oh, that's okay. That's all
right. That sounds like a mama bomb.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's all I have for tonight. Do we have any comments on this before I that you want to get on here? And like I say, next week we're going to look at that scroll. It's not a typical scroll. And the fact that it's sealed seven times, back in that day, the emperors, in their wills, would always have seven seals on their will.
Okay. So we've already been. Okay, we're in heaven, and we've already been given our reward.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we've already.
Right.
Crowns.
Do you have any indication, or does anybody have any indication how long this takes?
What? How long what takes?
You know, for everybody to receive the rewards and, you
know. No, I mean,
I mean, because you, like you say, with the tribulation, you know, you now believe that the tribulation ain't going to take place, which I've been reading on that, and not, you know, just right after we're taken out of here.
Right. So I believe there'll be a period of time.
Right. So I'm just wondering.
Yeah, and more and more scholars are saying the same thing, mm-hmm. that they think it could be any number of years between the rapture and the start of the tribulation. Certain things have to happen because, you know, the Antichrist isn't going to be revealed until after we're gone.
Right.
And for those people that say, well, the church is going to make it through the first half and we're going to be raptured in the mid-tribulation, that's not going to happen because we would reveal the Antichrist. If we were still here, mm-hmm. millions of people would say, that's him. Yeah. You know, as soon as he signed a treaty, that's the guy. And he can't have that. We have to be gone.
I know you and I discussed before that, so we have talked that, like, when the tribulation was taking place, now this is before you learned something different, that up here in heaven, that's when the rewards and everything would be
taking place. As far as how long it takes for the Bema Seat judgment, I have no idea. I mean, it's heaven.
I didn't know if you had any
it could happen in a second. Earth time could be totally different than heavenly time, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's beyond my pay grade. Okay. Figure that one out.
I didn't know because, you know, you didn't teach us before about the rapture not or the tribulation not taking place right after the rapture. You didn't teach that before until you've learned something new.
Well, even before I talked about the seals and everything, I still thought there could be a possibility there could be some time. Because others, I reported that other scholars felt that way. Mm-hmm. Other scholars were saying, yeah, there could be a period of years before that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but others thought that as soon as the rapture occurred, it would start.
Right.
So. But I definitely...
You're convinced different now.
I'm definitely convinced that there's a period of time.
There's a period of time now. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because like I say, if not, we would reveal the Antichrist. We would tell everybody. Now, there are going to be people get saved during the tribulation period, but by the time they get saved, they're going to be killed. And if they're not killed, they're going to be hiding. So they're not going to say anything. And if they did, no one would believe them anyway. And there's just going to be a few at first. Antichrist is going to get away with it.
Just for, how different people take... I
know. For 3.5 years, he's going to get away with it.
I don't know. Right as we can be taught.
Yeah. Okay. Let's have prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this study. There's so much to look at. We try to do the best that we can. And Lord, we research and we rely on the Holy Spirit to tell us certain things. And we just trust that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct our paths and that we can look at these things and answer, be able to answer questions and ask the right questions, dear Lord. And it's asking questions that leads to critical thinking and leads to the Holy Spirit's guidance. But we have to be open to his guidance. We know we can't come in with our minds made up. You know, we have to be open to his guidance and what he tells us, and we have to be able to receive that. And we pray that we can, and that, as always, it will lift us up and help us as your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.